CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us. We get together every weekday at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective. You know, so many things going on in the world. Boy, you better have God's perspective. And also what we hear in church isn't even in the Bible at all. If you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. If you've been reading your Bible, pray you have come across something you don't understand. That's why we're here every weekday afternoon to help you do a better job for our King. Joining me today, special guest, featured John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente. Hi, and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be back here with you on this Tuesday. Looking forward to, again, another great program here. And praise God for another day.
Amen. Another day. And so we just want to encourage all of you to read your Bible every day. It's so important to know God's perspective about everything. So important. Well, again, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program. And, you know, we've already got some calls. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Lisa on the line from yesterday. Thanks, Lisa, for calling us back. How may we help?
Thank you, pastors. I'll get right to the question. How do we best minister to people of the homosexual lifestyle? Even though scripture has been pointed out, they're preferring for the, you know, their ears to be tickled. But, and I just don't know what direction. Well, it's not me. It's someone I know. What direction to go? Help, please.
Well, Paul says, doesn't even nature itself teach you it's wrong? Your thoughts, John?
Well, I would say this, you know, you treat the homosexual like you do the homosexual non-believer, like you would the heterosexual non-believer. They don't know Jesus. And so I would approach it the same way that I would in terms of, you know, we're all sinners and we all need Christ. I think there is, I think oftentimes people who are in that lifestyle, they anticipate Christians, coming down hard, coming down fast, because we know what the scripture says. The Bible says that the person who practices that lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, but I realize also that the gospel is for every person and they need to be saved. They need their eyes open. Their hearts are darkened. They're lost like I was lost. And so I approach it with love. I think for a lot of people in that alternative lifestyle, they've never really experienced what God's love is like. And so they're looking for it in other places. Some have been abused. Some have been mistreated. And so I would approach it with love. And I would seek to be a light to them. And not that I'm condoning or accepting of their lifestyle, but I want them to know Jesus. So that would include praying for them. That would include reaching out to them, ministering to them, and praying that they would get saved. And the good news is, Lisa, there's nothing impossible for God. And I have seen those who have been in that lifestyle come out of that lifestyle, be born again, and even start families, families according to the Bible. I mean, so God can do anything. And, you know, I want to love these people just like we love other people who are lost.
Amen. And I think that, again, as we really look at what the Bible says, what creates community, what creates a country, a nation, what holds a nation, your communities together, very clearly the Bible spells out. And we can violate those things. You can say, well, I don't believe driving into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour is going to hurt me. You'll be just as dead. You can violate what the Bible says. And then at the end of your life, you can look and say, wow, that was a really satisfying life, or man, I did it all wrong. The Bible keeps us from living in remorse. And I believe that, again, if we follow the outline of God's word, he knows more about human beings than we do, knows more about culture and countries and what holds nations together more than we do. So I think if you follow what God's word says, I don't think you can ever go wrong. Any last thoughts?
No, I would agree with that. You know, I just think we need to, sometimes we avoid reaching out to those people because we're fearful. We, you know, we're not sure how they will respond. I think there, you know, you also asked about some resources. I think Focus on the Family has some good resources on how to approach those who are struggling with same-sex attractions or those who are involved in it. Some very practical ways perhaps to approach it. But I would just encourage listeners, hey, regardless of what somebody's preference is or the direction they're going, the world needs Jesus. And the gospel is for every person, regardless of their choice of sin. And Jesus is a savior. And so I think that's the best way, but I do believe it takes prayer. It takes, faithfulness and loving them again, not condoning their sin, but loving them and seeking to share with them the gospel. And, I think it's really important, Mike.
Yeah. Amen. I hope that helps. And we'll send you out a few things as well that perhaps you can pass along to your friends as well, Lisa. So, yeah, Focus on the Family is a good place to go. Or, James Dobson Ministry. Just look up James Dobson Ministry, and that's going to help you, I think, really a lot. Hope that helps.
Thank you so much, pastors. Lisa, love your program. You're a blessing to us all.
God is good, dear, and he gets the glory. And stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. Let's go to Carol, Texas. Hi, welcome from yesterday.
Yeah. Hello, pastors. Hope everything's going well with y'all. I have actually a twofold question. Mm-hmm. Revelation 7, starting in verse 9. There is a great multitude which no one can number of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues standing before the throne, clothed in white. And then when you go to 13, the elders is asking John, who are these? And John is answering, you know, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes. Who are those?
Well, I believe, again, and I think chapter 7 here, one of the elders said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest, beats me is what he's saying. He said, these are the ones who came up out of the great tribulation. That's who they are. We find them mentioned also in chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, those that were martyred for their faith during the tribulation period. That's who they are. The saints, the church, is found in chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign on the earth. So that's the church. We don't find the church ever mentioned again on the earth. After chapter 3, you'll find saints, you'll find elect, but not the church. When you look at the epistles, you realize the emphasis completely upon fellowship, the church, all the way through the epistles. Whether you're looking at John, James, whoever, whatever book you're looking at, you find this emphasis upon the church, upon interpersonal relationship within the body of Christ. But we don't find that in Revelation chapter 6 on. What we find there is God bringing about or allowing, at least in the first six seals, man to pretty much destroy himself. And then God brings about the judgments from Revelation, the seventh seal, the trumpet judgments, and of course the bowl judgments brought on by God. Now, God is dealing with his nation of Israel in this seven-year period of time and also dealing with a Christ-rejecting world. Your thoughts?
Well, I would say that it says right there in verse 14 that these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There will be people who are saved before the tribulation takes place. And after the church is taken, there will be people who get saved during the tribulation period. There's going to be 144,000 individuals that are marked by God, Jewish people from every tribe there that are mentioned. The 12 tribes, they're going to be evangelizing. There's going to be an angel, the Bible says, that's going to fly back and forth declaring the everlasting gospel. There's going to be two witnesses who are going to be performing miracles. So the gospel, people will get saved. There will be people that turn to the Lord. The thing is, though, Mike, the only way that they're going to be saved out of that tribulation, as these are here, is if they are martyred. You're going to have to die for your faith. And I always encourage people, listen, if you can't live for Jesus now, how are you going to die for him then? I mean, better to respond to the Lord now. Some people say, well, I'll just wait and see if that really comes to pass and it'll be too late. But there are people who get saved during the tribulation period. And I believe that these are the ones that John is referring to here in Revelation chapter 7.
Amen. Carol, I hope that answers it for you.
Just by the way, my mother-in-law said that 100 times over the course of her life. But my second part of this question is that the 144,000, the three angels, and the two witnesses, are they during the first 3.5 years or the whole entire tribulation period?
Well, we certainly know the angels are flying through the midst of heaven warning people not to take the mark of the beast. So that may be very well where they come on the scene. I believe the 144,000 are pretty much towards the beginning of the tribulation period. A seal is placed upon them. It says they are servants. They are virgins. They are from the 12 tribes of Israel, not Jehovah's Witnesses. Very clearly, so no one can mess it up. It even lists the tribes by name, yet people still mess it up. Hard to believe, but it says they're men, they're virgins, and they're from the 12 tribes of Israel. Very clearly spelled out there, no wiggle room whatsoever, and they are servants to the Most High God to carry out his work. Your thoughts?
You know, Carol, is there something more to the question? In other words, the fact that your mom has answered that way, we've answered that way, were you personally thinking it meant something else when you called?
No, not at all. I just wanted to make sure that gotcha. I clearly understood and wanted to know if it does say that the 144,000 will be there for 3.5 years. So I didn't know if it was the first 3.5 or the last 3.5.
Gotcha.
Well, we do know in chapter 14, they're caught up to heaven, and that is before the end of the tribulation period. So I would say probably coming on the scene fairly early. I believe the book of Revelation is written in sequential order. In other words, every things that must be after these things, as one thing happens, then the next thing happens. I do not believe in Johnny Popcorn theology in the book of Revelation where, oh, there was a star in heaven and this is the fifth seal and all the crazy junk that's on the internet. Very clearly, it's written in order to encourage those who put their faith in Christ, realizing it's going to cost them their life. They'll be beheaded most likely for their faith. To give them the encouragement to die for their faith when they see everything in the Bible in chronological order, breaking loose exactly as the Bible says, I'd believe this book. When you stop to realize that this wasn't written the day before all these things are happening, this book was written almost 2,000 years ago. So because of that, you can put faith in it. And I believe the sequential order of events is going to be a great faith builder for the tribulation saints. And I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much, pastors.
Stay online, Carol. I'll send you a couple books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. And I think we're all out of those. Okay. I'll send you 101 Last Days Prophecies. I think you'll really enjoy that as well. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron in Las Vegas. Hi, welcome, Aaron.
Is it Aaron or Karen you're looking for?
It says E-R-I-N, Karen.
I'm Karen from Las Vegas. And
that's who I'm trying to talk
call.
To. Okay.
Okay. My question is regarding 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 26, where it speaks of the 4,600 Levites who joined David, his army, to fight against the invading armies. Were there 4,600 Levites there to assist in a priestly role, or were they there to be fighters, which we know they're not supposed to do according to Scripture?
Okay, your thoughts.
I would say, I guess my first question, Karen, would be where does it say that they're not required to be fighters in the battle? Because I think they were numbered with David there at Hebron. And I was thinking about Exodus 32 when I saw your question. I was thinking about when you remember when Moses came down from the mountain and the people had already began to become idolaters. They started worshiping around the golden calf. And Moses said, whoever's on the Lord's side, let him come over to the Lord's side. and some chose not to. And it was the Levites, these descendants of Aaron, that went in and ended up having to clean house there on that side. So I don't know, Mike, of a passage that says that the Levites were not allowed to fight. I think their primary duty was their priestly duty. But they're numbered here. They're men who are fit for war, I suppose, if called upon to fight, that they would have to fight. I mean, their first goal, first job, of course, was to handle the ministry there of worship of the Lord at the tabernacle. But, you know, there were times when Israel went to war and Judah went to war and David needed every man that he could muster to battle. So it's a really good question you ask.
First thing I would say is because of the placement in Scripture, now to bring out of the Scripture what it's saying, when we realize that the tribe of Levi is listed right in with the other tribes, all gathering for war, I have to conclude that these were warriors. Mm-hmm. Now, what you may be referring to, Karen, is when David said, I want to build, when he's speaking with the Lord, I want to build you a house. And God said, because you're a man of war, you cannot build my house, but your son can. Now, Solomon was never a person who went out in battle, and certainly he did build the first temple. When we look at this, it may very well be that sometimes we think that way, that God would not use a priest to in any way to do this, like in a war situation. But we remember when God told the prophet, tell Saul to go out and utterly wipe out the Amalekites. We remember that Saul brought back the king of the Amalekites. Mm-hmm. And it was the prophet of God who hacked him to pieces. So I think we have to understand that, yes, we do worship. And true, just as Jesus is our great high priest, we realize that when he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, at the end of the tribulation period, that he will hack to pieces these armies and be victorious. Any last thoughts?
Well, I think those are two great examples, Mike, that you pointed out. Of course, Samuel having to confront and finish what Saul was unwilling to do, was forced to use the sword. And so, yeah, I would say from the text itself that these men, there were moments when they had to be warriors. They had to be fighters. And this was one of those occasions where they were numbered with David.
So I hope that answers it for you.
It does. Thank you. I really appreciate your answering that question for me.
Stay online. We'll send you out some books, DVDs, if you like. Great to share with your friends, and just a good way to tell people about the Lord. Sometimes it's kind of hard to talk to people. I sometimes give them a book and say, here, read this, and may the Lord will speak to you in a special way. Let's go to Chad, Hearst, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
How may we help?
Yes, sir. My question is, last weekend at work, he's a buddy of mine that I work with, obviously, and we always joke around, and he came up to me, and he was about to make a joke about Jesus, and the only way I know how to put it is, like, I just sharply cut him off, rebuked him, said, nope, I don't like jokes like that. And that was it. And my question is, did I do wrong by, you know, because since he's an unbeliever, to stop him like that? I don't know if that even makes
Chad,
sense.
Chad, that's exactly what I would have done. Exactly. I wouldn't have done anything different because I wouldn't. Would you let somebody come up and say, hey, Chad, I got a joke about your wife. Let me tell you, you'd haul off and pop him in the nose. How much more then for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean they can drag the name of our Savior through the mud willy-nilly. You know, and so I think we need to be very careful about that. I want to be non-combative. I'm not looking for a fight. But when somebody says something that obviously, does this guy know you have a faith in Christ?
Yeah, see, and that's my...
Yeah, there you go. Well, he was doing it on purpose. Now, something important, Chad, this man may be under some type of conviction too. And this is why he approached you. Now, what you could do is you could go to this individual that you work with and say, hey, I didn't mean to snap at you last week, you know, over that joke you were going to say. But, you know, it really hurts me when somebody would say something. Would you like somebody saying a joke about your wife? No, you wouldn't want that. But I just want you to know that somebody that loves you so much, I would never make a joke about, and God really loves you. Jesus really loves you, died on the cross for you. And I think you can turn it around like that. I think sometimes showing that we have a heart and a sensitivity for and in their unsaved ways speaks a lot of our willing to build a bridge to reach them for Christ. So no, were you wrong at the time to stop it? No, I don't believe you were. However, you can go, and I wouldn't apologize for cutting him off. I would say, I didn't mean to offend you. Now, again, his words are what was the offense. I didn't mean to offend you. But, you know, I just got to tell you, I look at all the things that Jesus did for me and changed my life. And, you know, you wouldn't want somebody to make a joke about your wife, and I wouldn't want somebody to make a joke about my best friend. And see, that way it softens it, because he may be under conviction to even go up and try to pull that, knowing you were a Christian in the first place. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there is a way to go about it. Chad, I wouldn't feel condemned over it, but I think I would use it as an opportunity perhaps to, as a catalyst to share with your friend. Can I just share with you why that is offensive to me? Let me tell you. And if you do it in a way that is, it's more you're concerned this about this guy's salvation, the fact that you would consider him a buddy, a friend, as you mentioned. I think there's a way in which to rebuke someone in that sense, or to make a stand for Jesus. And I think there are moments when you have to. I remember one time I was taking my son into the mall, and we were in a store, and there was a man working there behind the counter, and this was, you know, he had the worst mouth. I mean, this is the guy waiting on people. And I could hear, it was very loud the way he was speaking, and he was using Christ's name in vain repeatedly. And finally, I just went over to him. I said, hey, and I said, hey, you know, and I just kind of shared my heart with him. I don't know if it was the right way to do it, but my son was right there too, and he was little. And it bothered me greatly. I just think there's the way to do it. What is the goal and intention? Is it to stand for Christ, to help this person come to Christ? People take his name in vain all the time, you know, and I think it's important to use it as an opportunity. The Bible says, the fact that he's a friend also, Mike, I think makes a difference, you know, because Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, it says, you know, don't correct a scoffer lest he hate you. If you rebuke a wise man, well, he'll love you. And so I think there's moments this could be used as an opportunity, Chad, to be a light to your friend. And we'll pray that he comes to know the name of Jesus in his own life as his savior as well.
Amen. So I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. And again, just when I say that I'm sorry, I'm not, can you just repeat that again? Because I wasn't sorry for what I did, but you said to say, I'm sorry if I upset you with what.
Yeah, I would say I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to offend you. But when somebody runs down my wife or my friends or you know, somebody that's done so many things for me that God has done, that's why I was abrupt with you. I wouldn't apologize for cutting him off. I would just say I didn't mean to set you back. You got to remember, he's probably under conviction. So I think that's one of the things that's important. And let me tell you, just because you rebuked him doesn't mean that isn't really what he needed in his soul. In other words, if I really believe that Jesus Christ is real, or if I really believe my wife is real, and somebody comes up and starts maligning somebody that you love, and you sit there and smile and go, ha, 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 I would have to conclude that, hey, either this guy doesn't love his wife or love his friends or love his God or whatever. So I think really your response was probably exactly what was needed. But now you want to go and say, hey, but listen, let me tell you why. And I think that I wouldn't make any apologies for cutting him off. But I would say, hey, you know, I didn't want to make you, you know, I didn't want to hurt your feelings last week. But here's why I said what I said. And I think you can do that. I don't think I would apologize for anything that was said there. And again, see, there's an old saying, you can win the argument and lose the soul. And I want to be careful that I don't do that. But at the same time, you know, he's the one that opened the conversation. So I think you got some liberty there to say, hey, by the way, you know, last week you came up with that joke. And hey, I just want to tell you, I didn't want to be in your face on that. You know, you wouldn't like somebody making a joke about your wife or your best friend. And, you know, I look at all the things God has done for me. I wouldn't want somebody to run down my best friend either. So I hope you understand that. See, that's the way you do it. Because God really loves you. And see, that's the thing. See, you know, people in the world fish in many different ways for the truth. And sometimes it's through offenses that they do that to see what our reaction is going to be. I'm going to challenge this person in their relationship with God. And if I get a harsh reaction, I've got to say that this person really believes what they believe. However, you know, come up, tell me a joke about Mickey Mouse. Tell me a joke about Buddha. Tell me a joke about Jesus Christ. It's all in the same old bucket. I would have to say this person's convictions are about ankle deep. But I think when we really share our faith, when we really are committed, we defend our friends. And I think that's the way you do it. Chad, I hope that helps.
Well, thank you, sir.
Stay online. Stay online. I'll send you a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and maybe some you can even give to him. I'll send you a Time to Grow book. I think you might really enjoy that because it explains the gospel very simply. In fact, you could even give him the book and say, hey, listen, you said these things, and here, I just want to give you this book, and just look it over. Tell me what's wrong with it, and just see what he says. Chat's the line. We'll get you taken care of. Coming up on a break, everyone. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more coming up right after the break. We'll be right back right after this.
But he was like, you're not ready for another baby.
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have one.
These are the voices that a young mom with an unplanned pregnancy hears. She wants to make the right choice, but society and those around her are telling her that a preborn baby is not a life. That's where Preborn steps in, providing love, support, and free ultrasounds, introducing moms to the beautiful life growing inside of them.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues 200 babies. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, she will choose life 80% of the time. To find out more, visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, in Twin Falls, Idaho. And we're going to go back to the phones. We have Angel in Nevada calling. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going today?
Yeah, how may we help?
Hi. So I wanted to request a prayer. So I was hearing recently that a lot of veterans out there are pretty much committing suicide. So I thought I'd give you guys a call and we can all throw a solid prayer in for those folks and the family members out there.
Well, we certainly can. And not only for them, but anybody that tries to keep law and order. My heart goes out to all the police every day. Firemen risk their lives to protect all of us. Thankless job. It's unfortunate that we have a border right now that is just letting criminals from all over the world in. I want to caution everybody. The American news media is corrupted. It is owned by, I don't know whether it's the communist state or what, but I was looking just very quickly here at what they want to do to America, the progressives. And primarily, they want to gut the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And it's really tragic when we really see what their whole game is when we understand that we're, I was just looking at outdated laws, 21 constitutional changes for a more progressive America. Every one of them is wicked. Whoever wrote this article is a treasonist. It's not news. It's nothing but pure propaganda. And you have to understand the American people are under attack by the rotten American news media. They cannot report the truth. They will exaggerate. They twist things. You know, Trump hates Indians or whatever. It's they're just absolutely insane. They're rabid. They're so sick. And this is one of the great things. You know, Trump's going to take away our democracy. Well, let me tell you, Democratic Party, not one person in America voted for Kamala Harris to be president. Not one. 13 million plus Americans voted for Joe Biden, but he was bullied out of office just a week or so ago. He said, I am not out of the race. I'm staying in the race. But he was bullied out of office. The new Gestapo state will determine who you vote for. You people, you don't vote. We will tell you who to vote for. This is communism, friends. Pure and simple. This is the end of your democracy. When you read what they want to do to your Constitution, it's unbelievable. And so understanding that America is under attack, it's under attack by the American news media who can't tell the truth. MSNBC right now is in a major lawsuit because they lied about a doctor. And when you look at this, every once in a while, their lies are so outrageous, they actually get caught in them. And you think back all the different ones that we've seen over the years. We have to understand America's under attack. This Hollywood slime pit is all part of it. And I don't know who the good guys are, honestly, and who the bad guys are. I just know whoever the American media is for, I'm against. And whoever they're against, I'm for. Because my value system does not reflect anything of Hollywood. It doesn't reflect anything of a particular party, of the slaughter of the unborn. When I see that they are following textbook protocol to destroy a nation. Now remember, Rome was never conquered. Its borders were overran. Kamala Harris is the border czar, and she's running for president? They said there's a caravan of thousands of people headed for the southern United States border to cross illegally. Do you think she's going to stop it? No. So when we understand that America is quickly fading unless we have a miracle, I believe that we have real issues. And I don't, you got to research those issues to find out who you vote for, who reflects what you think. But if you think your borders being overran is a good thing, well, there's a candidate for that. If you think it's wrong, there's a candidate for that. If you think slaughtering babies is wrong, there's a candidate for that. If you think it's okay to kill kids, and even after they're born, chop them up because you confuse them with gender identity, there's a candidate for that. And you begin to realize, but it seems now the only thing that they talk about is who is pro-abortion. The Supreme Court, everyone, never outlawed abortion. What the Supreme Court did is what they should have done originally. Anything that's not spelled out in our government, it's up to the individual states to decide. Abortion was never addressed in any of our government documents. The Supreme Court ruled properly that it's turned back to the states. That's all they did. And yet the American news media will not report the truth. They abolished abortion. No, they didn't. They said it's up to an individual state. Then the individual state can then vote out these people that are doing these things. But you see, we're under attack. And so, yes, we'll pray for the veterans. We'll pray for the police that have to patrol all these gangs that are coming into America. Crime is wide open. It seems that people are rewarded for committing crimes. I don't understand this. This is an America that none of us want. And if you're older, none of us ever seen before. But criminals have the rights. You know, what is it in your state, John, that unless it's under, if it's under $1,000, people just go in and steal whatever they want out of the stores? I witnessed this when I was down in Arizona. They just come in, store, stole whatever they want, walked out the door. And the store personnel just stand around, look at each other, well, we can't really do anything. You go, man, what a sick society we become. That lawlessness is now the norm. Isn't that about right, John, down there? You can steal up to $1,000 and nothing happens?
Yeah, the lawless abound in the state. And, you know, yeah, the justice system makes it so hard for our sheriff, who I give a shout out to, Bianco, who's over California. He has just done such a great job, but he's fighting an uphill battle, doesn't get the support. And so many of our sheriffs don't down here. I'm actually a chaplain for the sheriff's department here in Orange County. And I'm so appreciative of what these guys have to put up with. And basically, they made it hard to put criminals away. They just, they, you know, book them and then they just walk right out in the street the next day and they can't hold them. It's just, it's tragic, you know, but that's what poor leadership looks like. That's what it produces. And that's what we've seen here in our state. So yeah, our first responders need prayer. Our veterans need prayer. They've served and, there's not a lot of thanks for them. So I think we should lift them up.
Well, and I think a lot of veterans say, you know, I risk my life, post-traumatic syndrome, all these things they go through after they get out to preserve America that's literally now rotting everyone. You can't have a society with your border. There's not a country in the entire world in the history of man that's ever existed with porous borders. Wow. Isn't that a weird thing? And yet Kamala Harris feels perfectly okay of letting thousands of people illegally come across the border. Yes, she is the border czar. Absolutely. Now, maybe you agree with that. There you got your candidate. But see, this is where we're at. And I think a lot of veterans and sheriff, police feel they're in a hopeless thing. I go out, risk my life. I bring these people in, or I've defended my country only to watch lawlessness reign supreme. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and we pray for our nation. We pray for those that are trying to keep normalcy in our nation, from our police to our veterans, to all those in public service. God, we just ask that you would protect them. Lord, that you would remind them that they are really hands of righteousness in an unrighteous world. Lord, I thank you for the veterans that risk their lives, and many of them have permanent damage, missing arms and legs and eyes and ears and all these things. Lord, we pray for them, that you would encourage them, that you would get them with people that love you, that will encourage them to realize we're just the passing through this world. There's an eternal day coming when we will spend eternity with you in heaven. And Lord, I want to see as many of those people that are executors of your righteousness go with you when you come to take us home. So Lord, we lift up all of those who are public servants And Lord, we ask you that you would reach your hand out to them, protect them, God, give them your wisdom in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for reminding us. I do appreciate that. I understand, Angel, the frustration in many veterans and police because they risk their lives for nothing when they see the lawlessness that's applauded by these wicked people. I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked. I cannot believe what America has become. But this is what happens. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You leave truth out of a nation's laws and governance, you will end up in the mess that we're in right now. When you look at an economy that has to borrow $1.7 trillion a year, just to function because it is so dysfunctional, our economy is not doing good, friends. Any news broadcast that say how good our economy is doing is lying. When you have to pump $1.7 trillion a year into a failing economy just to keep it looking sort of normal. No, I think we're headed for a very, very, very bad financial crash in the days to come. I want to encourage you all, if the Lord comes and takes us home, praise God. If he doesn't, you need to be a part of a body. You're going to need each other in the days to come. I really believe that. And so I just want to encourage you, make friends. Be about your Father's business. Love one another as John said, as Jesus said, that we would be one as him and his Father are one in John 17. That's what we want to do. Angel, stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs, okay?
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate that, guys. Salute.
Salute. And thank you, Angel, so much for the reminder. And again, our heart goes out to all of you who serve, all of you who pray every day. Let's go to Lisa, Palm Springs. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Well, you've touched on a few of the things that my question's about. And one of them, I was listening to a interview with John Rich of the country band Rich and Little. And he was with Tucker Carlson. And he had said that God inspired him to write this song, Revelation. And then he kind of interviewed with Tucker. And he said, there is no actual word rapture in the Bible, but your guy that's on the phone said harpazo's in the Bible. And then he also said that there is no actual word antichrist. And John Rich, he said something about it being the system. But the most important question that I want is he said, you know, it says in Revelation, do not take the mark of the beast, and you won't be able to buy or sell without taking that. And what exactly is it?
Well, evidently, it says it's a mark, name, or a number. This is found in Revelation chapter 13. And you will not be able to conduct business without the mark, name, or number on your hand or on your forehead. Now, these are the two areas that primarily are never covered. And so, therefore, in some kind, maybe in more advanced societies, it may be a chip implanted. Maybe in lesser, it could be a tattoo mark. But the idea behind the mark is you're declaring your allegiance to the Antichrist. Now, somebody that says the Antichrist is not in the Bible doesn't know their Bible. Somebody that says the rapture is not in the Bible doesn't know their Bible because it's the word harpazo. It means caught up. That's the word. Now, we get the word rapture from the Latin of caught up, which is, I believe, rapture, and this is where we get the word rapture from. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, it's a misunderstanding of scripture in terms of, it comes from the Latin rapio, which we get our English word rapture. So it really just depends on which translation of the Bible you have, but they mean the same thing, to be caught up, to be with the Lord. And the mark of the beast, you mentioned it, it talks about it. And everybody who doesn't have it, it's going to be the ability to buy or sell. And in fact, if you look now at the technology that is available, Lisa, that's out there, and you've seen documentaries on it, you've seen things where they can contain all the information about your life, your medical records, everything in something the size of a grain of rice. And all they have to do, and there's some people who have tested it out. They put it in their hand. They can open doors. They can buy things. They can sell things. And they can do anything just with, it's so convenient. You don't have to even, you can just put your hand out and you're in the door. You can put your hand out and you buy something. You have to pull out your phone. You don't have to write a check. You don't have to do any of that. You know, cash is no need anymore. So the technology is there. There's just something standing in the way of that. There's going to be a one world currency. There's going to be a one world religion. There's going to be a one world global system governed by the Antichrist. It's a matter of time, but there's something standing in the way. And what stands in the way is a system of absolutes. The church of Jesus Christ. And when the Lord removes his church, then you're going to have to come together. You're going to have to do these things. I want to say to you that I thought it was very interesting, and I hate going back and looking at this, but when you go back to 2020 and how interesting it was when people were willing to let somebody point something at their forehead before they went into the grocery store. Before you go into the grocery store, before you get on a plane, before you go anywhere, let me just point this thing right at your forehead and take your temperature. And everybody just fell in line. To me, that's a dress rehearsal for what's coming. The whole world bought into that. And this deception is going to be even greater, governed by the Antichrist, who will be the devil incarnate. And so, yeah, you definitely want to avoid that at all costs, especially if you're here. But I'm believing what the Bible says, that the Lord's going to come for us in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up to be with the Lord, caught away before these things take place upon the earth. So, John Rich from Big and Rich, I would say, hey, get back to the scriptures. Make sure you're reading it accurately, because that's not true what you're saying.
Hope that helps.
No. Let me talk. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I want to be clear that he did not say there is no Antichrist. The word Antichrist is not okay. In the Bible. He said that it was the system, and he didn't say that
there was. Well, no, the Antichrist is not a system. The Antichrist is a real individual.
Individual, that's right.
And we need to understand that. The Bible, in fact, even identifies him. He gets a deadly wound, blinds his right eye, and hurts his shoulder. He dies, and it's a mock resurrection, and the world says, who is able to make war with this man? He comes on the world scene. I don't believe the Antichrist is going to be some wild-eyed, crazy extremist. I think he's going to come on the scene with real, smooth words. He's going to have some common sense, which is completely lacking in the political realm right now. And I believe the people will wander after this guy. He's going to be able to put together a total global crashed economy. Everybody, we are headed for a precipice we cannot avoid. No country in the history of the world has ever been $35 trillion in debt, and no signs of stopping. They will not stop. Vote for me. Everything is free. Get your loans forgiven. Everything is free. Reparations in California. Yeah, that's all tax dollars that have to be paid back. Knuckleheads, these poor politicians, they just out buying votes. Well, here's what's going to happen. When the American bubble pops, $35 trillion, we go down. We can't make the interest payment anymore on these loans. We can't buy, steal, get money from any banks anymore. The whole world's going to go into a tizzy. And I believe out of the ashes is when this Antichrist is going to make his appearance. And again, the Bible very clearly says, now, yes, he will have a system. He actually has help. He's got a false prophet. He's got the beast, which you might call an unholy trinity, that he uses to govern the world. And in Revelation chapter 6, the Bible tells us this man goes out on a white horse, conquering and to conquer. He has a bow with no arrows, and authority was given to him. This is not Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 6. Jesus has never lost his authority. Jesus has always had his authority. But this Antichrist has authority given to him, and he goes out with a bow with no arrows. He goes out initially to unite the world diplomatically. And many people will sign on. But there's going to be some holdouts that don't. That's the fiery red horse that goes out war. He forces the world to come under his one world order. Then you find famine follows and pestilence follows. You find death that follows. One quarter of the world's population is going to die in the very first part of the tribulation period, the very first part of the 7-year tribulation period. One quarter of the world, 2 billion people. Now, everybody always talks about, oh, there was 1 million people that died of COVID. Ah! That is nothing compared to 2 billion people that are going to die. The Bible makes it very clear. The Bible also says every mountain and island moves out of its place. So we're talking tectonic plate movement, not of 5.0 or 8.0. We're probably talking 35.0. I mean, stuff that we've never seen before that completely rearranges the coastline of the world. Now, again, this is really real, friends. The Bible also talks about a meteorite that hits the earth named Wormwood. Even tells us the name of it. Does that crack the, you know, the plates that we're all floating around on this earth? I don't know, but it's going to get real bad. And the Antichrist is going to be the high priest over this demonically possessed and driven. A world without God, a world that the world wants right now. We don't want to hear this God stuff anymore. You're going to get just what you want, a world without God. And the Bible says, unless those days were shortened, no one would be left alive. You see, the tribulation period should have gone on probably much longer than 7 years. But because of man, God's judgments, 7 years, if he didn't stop it at 7 years, there wouldn't have been anybody left alive. And you look at the weapons now that North Korea, Iran is developing, all these underdeveloped nations, suitcase bombs from Russia sold on the black market. Friends, we are in a time different than any other time. John, any last thoughts?
Well, I would just say when it comes to the Antichrist, a couple of passages of scripture that I would refer to would be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. He is referred to as the lawless one. He is wicked. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, it calls him the beast. It's just another name. When it says Antichrist, John talks about this. John says there is a spirit of Antichrist, and we know the Antichrist is coming. John tells us that in 1 John. And so just in other places, he's called the beast. He's called the lawless one. He's called the son of perdition, the prince who is to come. I mean, these are all references to the same individual. So he is definitely a character that will emerge. He'll have answers for the world. Where did the church go? How do we put all this together? And he's going to lead the people into this false religious system along with the false prophet. And so, yeah, he's definitely found in scripture. And I think, but I would say this too, Mike, as we move on, is that, listen, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. Sometimes people get in, well, who's the Antichrist? I think it's,
we're looking for Jesus.
This guy, I think it's that guy. And you hear so many things through the years. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. And I think that's important for us. Keep looking for Jesus. He's coming soon.
Amen. And the word anti, like Antichrist, means in place of.
Right.
In place of, or opposition to. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, anti-freeze. It's to keep things from freezing. Anti-Christ, against Christ. But anti can also mean replacement for. So you have these. Lisa, I hope that helps. Lisa, we might have lost you.
Just one last question, please, and if you can answer just this one simple question. Is the actual word Antichrist, I know the what it represents, but is the Antichrist in the Bible?
John.
Yes, John talks about the Antichrist in his first epistle.
The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Yes, very clearly it's in the Bible. Lisa, I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. And we'll try for James. James, we got 1 minute.
I have an important question. Thank you. I live in Bend, Oregon, very progressive churches. Can you give me a list of churches that are non-progressive, that don't raise the rainbow flag, and et cetera?
Oh, I think your assemblies are pretty good. I think your Foursquare churches are good. I think there's a lot of great Baptist churches. I think there's some great independent churches, of course, Calvary Chapels, and different things like that. I think you've got a lot of opportunities there. And sometimes just going and visiting churches and letting your light shine, saying, what, you embrace this woke stuff? What's going on here? Why don't you follow the Bible? See, you can use that as a testimony as well. Any last thoughts?
No, I'd agree with that. Look for a place that teaches the Word of God and sticks to it. And if you see a flag outside of it of many colors, I would avoid it. I would move on. It's not really a church. It's not representing Christ. And so, pray for them as you drive by, but look for a church that teaches the Bible and stays true to the Word of God, Mike.
Remember, the gay community stole the rainbow from the Bible. Something you have to remember. James, stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. We're all out of time. Jennifer, Alice, the rest, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. John, thanks so much for being on today.
My pleasure. God bless
you. If you're in the Southern California area, I know he'd love to see you. Stop by his church. Till then, God bless you. Keep looking up.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.